we're going to be talking about choice. Yes or no, life or death, blessing or curses. And decision making is a very important part of your identity as a Christian. And for a number of reasons that we will be discussing today. But in I don't know about you, but we see the power of passivity in everyday circumstances. You know, you guys know what passivity is. I let things happen. And the things that we are dealing with today in terms of passivity are fruits of movements that started in the 60s and 70s, the fate movements, the destiny, fatalism, and all these movements that would tell us that we don't really have a choice with what's going on. Everything's predetermined. We are born, and a lot of Christians started to believe this as well, that God sets out a path before us and we don't have a say. And we just keep going on and on and on and on. And these ideas were fundamentally flawed, because just like you get a lot of romantic comedies and, you know, Prince Charming will meet the princess and they'll fall in love because it was just fate and they were meant to be and was so beautiful, and yes, you know, they just fell in love and it just worked out that, you know, all her problems were solved by all his strengths, and all his strengths or weaknesses were solved by all her strengths, you know, and they just fit and it just worked out well, you know, and there's nothing wrong, because real relationships, it just works. Hey, Clive and Amory. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you don't have any problems. Yeah, yeah. Because it just works, eh? Yeah. But in reality, relationships don't work like that. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah. 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 Thank you. Okay. You know, we fight. My father always said to me that if you can't fight with your friends, they're not really your friends, you know. You need to be honest with them. Okay, no hand-holding there. Clive Murray, that's enough. No, I'm joking. They're getting married in July, hey? 18th of July. 13 days. Yeah. Aren't you impressed that I remembered 18th of July? Okay. But we feel the effects of things like that today. We feel the effects of our fathers and our forefathers not, if I can use the term, being man enough to make decisions and to stand up, to take a fight. We just let things happen, fate, destiny. Now, it's interesting, you may be interested, because I find it interesting, that I, as a Christian, am talking about the fact that I don't like destiny, but at the same time, I'll tell you that I have a purpose, that God has a calling in my life. Is that a bit strange to you that I'll say something like that? Not okay, you guys are just really up at there on theology. That's great. A's to you. But the rise of the fake movement, we got the passive fathers. A lot of people struggle with that today. A lot of broken homes because fathers won't take up responsibility. We got a lot of carefree mothers, hippie mothers. Do whatever they want because there aren't any consequences, because it's fate and, you know, it's all going to work out in the end, you know. Have you ever heard that statement? Everything will work out in the end. Yeah, that statement annoys me. Okay. But what does it say in Genesis 1 verse 28? Genesis, that's not a rhetorical question. Somebody get out a Bible and read that for me. I've got it written down over here. Genesis 1 verse 28. You read it. Come, Renee. Okay. It's interesting. Other translations say rule over, take dominion of. It's interesting how we're not the backseat drivers. We are the drivers. God says, you must take dominion. You are in charge. You are the ruler of this world. You know, atheists today, their biggest problem with Christianity, one of their biggest reasons for not believing in Christianity is they say, if God is a good God, why does he allow so much suffering in the world today? And it's a very good question. I'm not saying that the question is not valid. But the answer lies in this scripture. God does not allow suffering. We allowed suffering. The world was ours to take dominion over. And you'll hear it. You'll get the greenies and the conservationists going on about how we as a species are destroying the world and taking over. But that's all forgotten when we start talking about suffering. When it comes to suffering, we say, no, it's God's fault. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Why? Because we're passive. Because we don't take up responsibility. Because we don't say, it's my fault, I'll take care of it. It's my responsibility, I'll take care of it. I'll make a stand. I choose to make a stand to take care of this world that God has given me responsibility over. Right? Are you following me? And the interesting thing about choice is that your salvation requires a choice. Right? That sounds pretty obvious. Okay? When, you can go to the next slide, thank you. When you first accepted Jesus into your heart, you said, you know, there was a choice given to you. So Jesus said, okay, I can save you. I can, you don't have to spend eternity in hell if you want. You can live in heaven with me forever. And everything's cool. Wash away your sin. Didn't happen. Do you want it? Yes or no? And you're like, yes. You get what I'm saying? It requires a choice. It doesn't just happen. Fate didn't kick in and all of a sudden you're a Christian. There are some Christians who believe that that we as people are born predetermined whether or not we're going to heaven or hell. So the implications of that being that God created people just to go to hell. That's a different sermon. I personally do not believe in that. I believe that your fate is in your own hands. You can decide where you want to end up. Okay? So Jesus came to me and he said, Luke, I have salvation for you. Okay? And I want to share my testimony with you because I was presented with just such a choice very clearly. So when I was younger, I went to boarding school at the age of 15, yes, into grade 9. And I came out of homeschooling, so when I got to school, as you can imagine, my social skills weren't great. They were not great to non-existent in that scale thereof. And so making friends was not my forte, and it was very difficult. And I had a very difficult time in school. I only really started making good friends probably by the time I got to matric, which was quite ironic because then I matriculated and left school. So that wasn't nice. Nah. But what started to happen was that people were mean to me. So what happened is I became very bitter, and I became a very mean and bitter person. And I used to manipulate, lie, cheat, steal, to get whatever I wanted, or to do over anybody there's one guy in my class in particular that I really didn't like, so I got my whole class to dislike him as well, and I found out about 2-3 years after school that he actually tried to commit suicide because of me, and that's a heavy one, but luckily after I got saved, I was able to go to him and apologize, and we made peace, so that's great. But, you know, imagine that if he had committed suicide, I'd have to carry that on my shoulders. But the grace of God is good. Anyway, so I finished school, and I went to university. And in school, I thought I was the bee's knees because I had everybody running around doing what I wanted. I was in school in Joburg. I was the only one in my class to go to university in Stellenbosch. Most of them stayed in Joburg and studied there. So when I got to Stellenbosch, a good 1,500 Ks away, you know, and then you're wondering why nobody's messaging you or phoning you, and then you realize, okay, so it wasn't that great. And I sort of just went in with the first crowd that would accept me, and that just happened to be the stoner crowd. So I started smoking a lot of weed, drinking a lot of alcohol, and and it went solidly downhill from it. In my first year of university, I had 10 modules, and I only passed one of them. Yeah. So that didn't go too well. And it sort of just slowly but surely progressed very much downhill after that. And I never really got any good friends in Stellenbosch because, I was mostly just focused on the stoner circles. And so I just went into a deeper and deeper depression. And I didn't really know what was happening with my life or where I was going. Anyway, it sort of came to a breaking point one evening on the July 2010, and it was the first time that I smoked a joint by myself, and I got a really bad panic attack, and in this panic attack I thought I was going to die, and it was very strange because I've never hallucinated while I was high, but there was very clearly this moment where I saw my life, and it was like an open book, and there weren't words, it just pictures, it was like somebody put a video and stuck it in a book, and it looked fairly miserable and disappointing. And then this, what I saw was that this book began to close, and surrounding it all around us was just this blackness and this void. It wasn't hell. It was nothing. You know, there was nothing there. And I got it into my head that when that book closed, I was gone. I was a vegetable. There wouldn't be anything to be dead. There would just be nothing, void, empty. And I don't know if you've ever thought about not existing, but it's a fairly daunting thought. And so I started to freak out. And just before this book closed, this golden figure appears, and he yanks the book open. And I was lying down at the time, and I sat up, and I was dead sober, completely sober. It was very strange. And then, quite clearly, I was presented with a decision. I'm sure it was audible, but I won't testify to that. But quite clearly, in my mind, I was presented with a decision. Okay, Luke, you can either go back to bed, and you can wake up in the morning and everything will be fine and you can carry on as normal, okay? Or you're going to get up, you're going to go to your parents, and you're going to tell them everything, and we're going to stop this, and we're going to change. And at the time it was a very difficult decision. Now looking back, it was the easiest decision of my life, but then at the time, because there were a number of things that I haven't mentioned that I'd done, and that involved wronging my parents as well. So it was a very difficult decision to make. But I decided that I'd had enough. So I got off my bed, and I went, I think my mother was at home, I don't think my father was there. And I went to my mother, and I gave her all the weed. I told her everything. I was stealing from my parents as well to buy stuff. So I told them all about that. I told them about all the stuff that I was stealing as well, drugs, people that I was hanging out with, even told them the names of the friends I bought the stuff from. And anyway, it was a very difficult evening. Anyway, but my parents weren't inclined to take me to Jesus. Instead, they took me to a therapist, and he just prescribed more drugs for me. So then I felt that I'd just gone from one drug to another. So I thought that this whole moment that I'd had was very significant, and then nothing about came about it. So I just thought that, okay, maybe I was just crazy in my head. And so I went into an even deeper depression, and I started to plan my own suicide. And there was a Thursday, I was walking to class, and I was walking with a friend of mine. He's now a friend of mine. Back then, he was just a guy in my class. I knew him because my brother married his sister. And he asked me how it was going, and I'm sure he was expecting a, it's very good, how are you doing? I did not give him that. I decided that I was just going to tell him everything. And I don't know why particularly I told him everything. But there's something about him that I always envied. He had this, he just seemed to have this magical, glorious, Prince Charming life. And here I was, depressed, stoner, about to commit suicide. Anyway, so I told him everything. And he said to me, you know, that sounds really bad. Why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? And I, if you knew me then, I was kind of like, I hadn't been to church in about 5 years. So I was kind of like, church, great. It's one of those. But I decided that, well, you know, can't get any worse. So so I decided to delay my suicide till the Monday. I'll go to church on Sunday. And, you know, nothing happens then. Okay, cool. So that's what I did. So he phoned me Saturday evening. And he's like, hey, bro, you still want to come to church? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll come. And he was quite surprised because he didn't actually think I'd come. He came, picked me up in the morning. I went to church with him that evening. And there I met God for the first time in my life. I'd been to church many times. I grew up in a Methodist church. It was the first time that I met God myself. And I've tried very often to describe to people what happened in that service. But needless to say, in the space of 3 hours, I went from being addicted to depression and drugs to being a little crazy. I went so crazy for 3 weeks that my old stoner friends tried to have an intervention for me because they thought that I started using heroin and crack cocaine. And they thought that I was going completely off my rockers. And it was a very, very interesting time. Monica was also there. She can tell you some stories. But I met God for the first time, and it completely changed my life. And I can't describe to you what happened there, but needless to say, I met God, and I didn't meet a angry God. I met the God of love, complete and utter love. And he presented me with this choice. You know, Luke, I love you. I want you to follow me. Will you follow me? And I said yes that day. And I walked out completely delivered from a whole lot of things. And there was this verse in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It always reminds me of that. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. It's so tangibly obvious. I don't know about you, but you know, there's so many issues in this world, and there's so many sides that you have to choose, you know, and there's so many variables, and there's so much information that you have to know in order to make the right choice. And I don't know about you, but for me, it gets really overwhelming at times, you know, pro-abortion, anti-abortion, you know, there's pro-homosexuality, anti-homosexuality, pro-evolution, anti-evolution. Where do we stand in these things? What do we decide, you know? And then God comes and he makes a very, very, very simple, and all that stuff, all that information, all that stuff just gets put to the side. And he says, yes or no. Life or death. Blessing or curses. Love or hate. It's very, very simple. And the thing about being a Christian is that, I don't know if you know this, and maybe you'll disagree, but you can be a born-again Christian, but that doesn't mean that you live in authority. That doesn't mean that you're a disciple. Okay, you can live as a Christian. Because I'm talking to you not as people that are drug addicts. I'm talking to you guys as Christians. That just because you're a Christian does not mean that you are a disciple. You have to make a choice every day. You have to exercise authority every day. And that authority is this choice that I'm talking about. Choice, the ability to choose, is the very essence of your God-given authority. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go out into all the nations and preach the gospel and make disciples of men." But it's very interesting that he distinguishes those two things. Go out and preach the gospel. Okay, so when I go out and preach the gospel, I get people saved. And then when they are saved, when they're Christians, make disciples of them. So now I'm not saying that you have to be a disciple in order to go to heaven. Okay, when you're saved, if you're there, you're saved, you accepted Jesus, you received them in your heart and you confessed them with your tongue, as the Bible says, you are saved. And I'm not going to take that away, okay? But if you want to be a disciple, you have to choose every single day. Luke 9, verse 23. Can somebody get that scripture out? Does anybody have their Bible? Somebody other than Renee? Luke 9, verse 23. Anybody got it, Johan? Take up your cross daily. There's a conscious decision that you need to make to take up your cross. In other translations, it says, if you wish to be a disciple of God, let him deny himself and take up your cross daily. Every single day, you need to make that conscious decision that today I'm going to pick up my cross, that today I'm going to be a disciple, that today I'm going to stand up for what is right. Today I'm going to take responsibility. Today I'm going to lay down my life for the people around me. There was a time when me and Monica and I were dating. We'd been dating for about 6 months, and we went through this period where we didn't talk to each other very much, and there were a lot of pressures on us and a lot of things going on, and our relationship got very, very thin. But there was this moment where I was forced to make a decision about do I choose to serve Monica, even though the relationship is a bit stretched thin? Do I choose to serve her, or do I choose to get angry with her because she's not giving me what I want? And there came this moment where I needed to get where, regardless of what she does, I choose to honor her. The Bible says that women submit to your husbands and wives. No. Women submit to your husbands, and husbands honor your wives. And God said that your decision to honor Monica must not be based on her decision to return the favor. Your decision to honor her must be based on your character and your integrity, not on what she does back to you as a person. Because in a sense, if I only honor her because she gives me what I want, that's not making a decision in a way that's being passive. I'm just going with the flow. And the problem is with the flow is that when the flow stops, then you stop. Right? But it just shows very bad character when that happens. It shows a lack of integrity. I made a conscious decision that no matter where Monica's at, I'm going to support her. And I took the pressure off her because she's going through a lot. She's under a lot of pressure with work. Her mother got sick. Another friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, their mother died, and there was just a whole lot. And at the time, I was very, very needy. I was very insecure, and I constantly needed Monica to affirm me. And now when she was going through a bad time and she needed me, I needed to stand up and make that decision. Am I going to serve her? Or am I going to serve myself? And maybe this sounds very overwhelming when I'm talking about authority and you have to take up your cross and you have to die to yourself and, you know, lay down your life, sacrifice for your friend. Maybe that sounds very overwhelming and you're like, okay, I'll work on that and by the end of the year, Luke, I'll get back to you. Okay. But what I want to say is that it's really, really, really simple. There comes a time where you're forced what to do, forced to make a decision on what to do. And the key to standing up in your authority, the key to making or breaking the situation is simply to make a decision, yes or no. Quieten everything, quieten all the logic and the illogical, the naysayers and the flatterers. Just quieten it all. Yes or no. Today, do I choose life or do I choose death? Do I choose a blessing or do I choose a curse? Do I choose to stand up or do I choose to sit down? Yes? Yeah. And you know, I don't know about you, but you know, I'm tired of passivity. It really gets me down sometimes. It really, if I come to church in the morning again, and there's another lady with her two children, and the father is nowhere to be seen. You know, it makes me want to scream sometimes. You know, where's the father? Why isn't he standing up for his children? Why isn't he standing up for his? Why isn't he leading? You know, when I hear of people just letting things happen, there's things going all on around them, you know, and they don't stand up. I don't know if you've ever heard somebody say, you know, they'll talk about, yeah, you know, some people broke in, but at least they didn't hurt us. Yeah, I don't mind thieves, just as long as they aren't violent. Have you ever had this sort of conversation? You know, I hate that conversation. I don't want to be tolerant of anything. I want to stand up. I want to say this is enough. You know, I don't want to live in a society where we have to tolerate things, where we just have to sit down and hope that the next person to break in isn't going to be violent. I don't want to live in a society where we have to fight about whether or not abortion is right or wrong. I want to live in a society where we stand up and we ask the tough questions of, why is abortion necessary in the first place? You know, I want to live in a society where we stop just letting people have their way. Stop just, yo. I want us to stand up. I want people to stand up. I want men to stand up and say no to injustice and yes to justice. No to unrighteousness and yes to righteousness. No to death, yes to life. No to curses, yes to blessing. I want to make the conscious decision of blessing. I want you guys to make the conscious decision of blessing every day. For you, for your family, for the people that you're in contact with, people at work, people at varsity. It takes a conscious decision. Yes or no. That's as simple as it gets. Yes or no, that is authority. When you stand in authority of God, you choose yes or no. So, I just want to make that decision prophetically with you. So if you're also tired of watching the news and it's all negative, if you're tired of women getting abused in homes, men leaving the home because they don't want to take responsibility for their children and their wives, if you're tired of of God not having his reign and his justice. And tonight, I just want you to make that stand with me. I just want you to stand where you are. Yes or no? Life or death? Blessing or curses? So just right now, if you feel that you want to make that stand, that you want to step in authority, that you're going to say no to passivity and yes to authority, just right now where you are, just take that stand with me. This is a very small step, but I just wanted to be conscious in your mind. You know, standing up here is the first step. This doesn't change everything, but it's a start of a change. You understand? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you're going to have to make that decision again. Every single day, you're going to have to take up your cross daily. And it starts here. This is the beginning of the journey. I want you guys to walk in authority. I want you guys to live in fullness. I don't want you just to survive. The Bible says that you are conquerors, more than conquerors. That there is life and life in abundance. It isn't just survival. We're not called just to survive, just to tolerate, just to be okay with it, just to be accept. Yeah? I just want to pray for you quickly. Lord Father God, I just want to thank you that you are a good God, Father. I just want to thank you that when we ask for bread, you will not give us a stone, Father. I just want to thank you, Lord Father God, that we can ask for the nations, Lord Father, as our inheritance. And Father, we just want to pray for this country that is South Africa. We just want to thank you for what a beautiful country that it is. We just want to thank you for the privilege of living in such a beautiful part of the world. And we just want to thank you, Lord Father God, that you have given this country to us as our inheritance, Father. And Father, we just make a decision today, Lord Father God, just as we're standing here, that we're no longer just going to sit on the sidelines and watch things happen, that we will make a decision, Lord Father God, to follow you, Lord Father God, that we may make a decision to be disciples, Lord Father God, and not just to be disciples, but to disciple other people. Lord Father God, I just pray for people here, Lord Father God, that they will learn to be disciples, Lord Father, they will learn to follow you. They will make that conscious decision when they wake up. Today I am a disciple of God. I'm not just saved, I'm not just going to heaven, I'm not just going to wait till I die so I can go to heaven. But while I'm living here, while I've got time, I'm going to be a disciple of God. I will disciple other people. I will make a decision that when I leave this world, I will leave it better than when I was born. I just thank you, Lord Father God, that there are men and women here in this very room that will change South Africa, Lord Father God. They will change the face of South Africa. And just where you're sitting, if you believe that you are called, if what I'm saying to you rings true, that you believe, I have such a heart for this country and I want to change it. I want to be involved. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I want to be involved with the change of this country. Just come to the front here so we can pray for you. Just come to the front. We want to pray for you. We just want to bless you and anoint you in that calling. Just where you're standing. Just come to the front. Lord Father, we just want to thank you, Lord Father God, that you are a good God, Lord Father God. We just want to thank you, Lord Father God, that when we ask for bread, you will not give us a stone. If there's something that you're struggling with, that you've been praying to God about, that you're trusting for, just where you are, actually, what we're going to do is just turn to the person next to you, where you're all standing. And just talk, just amongst yourselves, just talk about what you're trusting God for, what's going on. Doesn't necessarily have to be something that you're struggling with. Maybe you're hoping for something. Just turn to the person, talk, and just ask, just between in twos or threes, just ask God for that. And just keep in mind that when you ask for bread, he will not give you a stone. Okay, so just where you are, you can just start praying there. I'm just going to pray for the people in front of you.